Today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podco.co at podgo.co. Now let's kick off the show. John and James, let's get at it. This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 3, Episode 15 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. I'm your host, John, here with James and Andy. Deanna is out of town taking care of some daytime work tonight, so we wish her all the best. But, guys, how are we doing? Andy, how are you doing on this lovely Wednesday night? It's Wednesday, right?
It's Wednesday last time I checked. It's a little chilly up this part of the Midwest, but doing all right, getting ready. As we said last time, we re-rack and we go again, so here comes the Spanish Grand Prix, whether we were ready for it or not.
Yeah, it was a cool 82 degrees in the south today, so I can't complain. James, what about you?
Doing pretty good. Ready for an eventful weekend with a family wedding about to go down actually on Sunday. So I'll have a race in the morning and a wedding in the afternoon. So going to miss the review episode, unfortunately, but I'm ready to talk about the Spanish Grand Prix with you guys.
Yeah, and a quick public service announcement for all the guys out there. Don't forget that Sunday is Mother's Day.
Buy a card.
Yeah, take care of your mom if you're married with children. Maybe even dog children, you know, whatever the case may be. Don't forget your significant other as well. You will regret it severely. So, moving on, before we get started tonight, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and Discord at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can email the show at chatnow at outlapf1.com. You can find our beautiful website by our buddy Chris at www.outlapf1.com. Find all of our About Us page, our bios, all of recent tweets. You can find a way to support the podcast. If you're like, hey, I like these guys, I want them to get even better, here's a couple of bucks I'll send their way. We will greatly appreciate it. There is a link in our link tree that will take you right there. And as always, she's not here tonight, but be sure to check out Deanna's Relapped F1 channel on YouTube. Right now, she is on the 1982 Brazilian GP that I think just dropped, yesterday, something like that. So
yeah, yesterday or this morning or something. I think I saw it today when I was at lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, finally some video proof that she is, in fact, alive and well.
Yeah, I was beginning to wonder, we might just be talking to, you know, God only knows what up there in New York City. So.
People started questioning whether we were catfishing everybody like that LA Lakers podcast.
Oh, goodness. All right, guys. So we had a couple of news things that dropped. The first one I thought was pretty interesting. When I read this originally, I had it backwards, and I was like, oh, that's surprising. But so in the United States, for those, and I think it applies worldwide too, is for the growth of Formula One in the Drive to Survive era. Formula One had more than double the TV audience of IndyCar last weekend. Obviously, F1 in the United States is on ESPN. It averaged just a little under a million viewers for the race last week, while IndyCar had a doubleheader at Texas on NBC Sports. They had about 358,000 for the first race and 407,000 views for the second race. Andy, we had a question that came in this week. Joshua Kerr asked, be interested. He said, hey, Outlap F1 guys, be interested to hear how you guys read the situation, seeing that you're on the ground. What do you guys think, and Andy, what's your thoughts on why Formula One would have such a significant dominance in the TV growth here in the U.S., especially given that it's not in a favorable time slot?
Well, I think it's the power of ESPN, and I think that's definitely a huge factor of it. You know, and the other thing is F1 is not put itself behind. I mean, it's behind a paywall in terms of cable coverage, but I think that's almost now universally accepted. Like ESPN is just kind of out there, and most customers who want it can have it or can get access to it. NBC has kind of done a different type of media model where they initially put a lot of their IndyCar coverage behind an exclusive paywall that you had to pay in order to get any of like the practices or the qualifying sessions. They've since moved all that on into what they're now banking is their next big thing, and is their Peacock streaming platform. And I don't know how well it takes off. All I know is it takes 10 minutes for me to get to my IndyCar practice. I think that's definitely a part of it, but it's also, hey, these first two and three races have been pretty good. So the product is good. The storylines that now people are familiar with from Drive to Survive, and the combination of, hey, it's, and they've also been better timing of the races. I mean, we've had the Bahrain one started at 10 o'clock local here. The last two have been 9 a.m. So it's a little bit later. People are a little more awake on Sunday mornings. And can flip around and find this stuff, and they go, oh yeah, I remember I saw the Netflix thing, and oh, let's see what's going on with this. So I it's super encouraging to see F1 viewership increase. So I love it.
Yeah, like Andy, it's possibly due partly to the ESPN effect. You know, in 2018, ESPN2 averaged 489,000 viewers per race. That went up 24% in 2019 to 614,000. And it stayed pretty flat through 2020 on average at about 607,000. So we started this year off, and I believe Bahrain to start the year was about 879,000 fans. It peaked over a million at one point. So definitely a big jump to start the year. And also, like Andy said, these first two races at that point were pretty exciting. Drew some more people in. And then this third race was really a winner for ESPN as far as viewership goes. Of course, the ratings are always kind of tricky how they actually figure those out, but higher ones are always good. So I'll take that as they come for sure. And it's a good thing for us. Hopefully they're U.S. viewers, and hopefully you told them about it so they listen to our podcast.
Yeah, hell yeah. Tell a friend. Yeah, I mean, someone asked me this week on Twitter about, like, what do I feel like is the Drive to Survive impact in the United States? And you know, we've talked on the show, like Drive to Survive isn't the most factual thing on planet Earth. There's certainly some fabricated drama on there. But in that regard, I've had more conversations about Formula One with random people, neighbors, you know, family members, people that don't know anything about Formula One other than I do a podcast about it. and I've had more in-depth and actual, like, you know, informative conversations with these people in the last year than I have in my entire existence on planet Earth. So I think that's a really encouraging sign. Almost all of them just happened to come across Drive to Survive on Netflix. You know, even for me, like every time I go in there, even though I've watched it, you know, five times, it still pops up, you know, as like, you know, right there on the main screen is it's trending and everything else in the US. So it's always popping up on there. So I think that's crucial to the success of American audience. Guys, I'm surprised more people aren't tuning in to watch Jimmy Johnson and how many times he can spin in a race weekend. What's up with that? With all the damn Carvana, you know, commercials, we get 900 of those per IndyCar race. Oh, so
that's the worst part about IndyCar races is the commercials.
Oh yeah. Well, number one, NBC's that up big time. I mean, it's worse than when they had F1. And then two, the other thing that I wanted to even just mention on, I think IndyCar, especially on ovals, has a major league aero problem that they have yet to solve since they put that aero screen on there. And it just kills the racing. Makes it hard to watch.
Yeah. And Andy, thank you for not ruining it. When we recorded the review, Pato Award, what a drive.
Yeah. He was one who actually made his own passes. So tip of my cap, Pato, McLaren in victory lane. Loved it.
Yeah. I was trying to watch the races on Monday. Just kind of, you know, during the work day, had it on the background. And, you know, I remember at one point, I don't know if it was Ray Hall or whoever it was going for the overtake for the lead and backed off to save fuel. And I'm like, dude, you're halfway into the overtake for the race lead. You're a guy that never wins races. Like, is this your best opportunity? No, what does he do? Backs up. So I agree. The oval package is not pretty right now. I'm not exactly looking forward to the Indy 500. I think it's going to be a 33 follow the car, you know, train, or follow the leader train, something like that. But I don't know. Well, hopefully better things. But the road course racing has been pretty damn good, I will say that. And Grosjean's been good, so to segment over to that. Big news for Grosjean this week, guys. he's finally going to get an IndyCar driver. I mean, sorry. a Mercedes Formula One drive at the French Grand Prix. What do you guys think? James, let me feel what you're thinking here.
Honestly, I'm not sure I could care less. As I've noted many times on the podcast, never was a Grosjean guy. Thought he should have been out of Formula One a couple years ago. Don't know how he made it, like 9 years in his career. It's just funny to me, like observing this from the outside, where it's like Grosjean was like a nothing driver. Most people weren't fans of his. And then he walks out of fire one time, and now everybody can't get over the fact that he's getting a test drive at Mercedes. So
all you have to do is go through the ring of fire, and people suddenly like you.
He's literally like the human phoenix. I mean, he's rising from the ashes.
But yeah, I'm not. I just don't care.
No, I think this is a classic publicity stunt. That's exactly all it is. You know, hey, he gets to go back in front of his home country and, you know, sign off on F1 on his own terms. It's not going to mean anything. I don't think he's going to have competitive lap times. I'd be surprised if Mercedes gives him half the engine modes, for crying out loud.
If you listen to Twitter this week, I mean, he's going to set the new lap record. And
at Paul Ricard,
drop Lewis Hamilton and sign him for 2022. I mean, that's
got me interested, John. I'm here for that.
We're gonna have a Grosjean Bottas 2022 lineup.
No. Isn't it Grosjean Russell? Isn't that the idea?
No, Russell's gonna get stuck there still. It's gonna be Hamilton Russell at Williams.
Earn it here first, folks.
There you go.
We'll find out if it's the lap record.
He's gonna be 2 seconds faster than Lewis Hamilton. He's gonna prove, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Lewis Hamilton is not a good driver and he shouldn't have 7 champions. And hey, Grosjean should be a 7-time.
Put him in that Williams and we'll find out if it's the driver of the car real quick.
I guarantee he'll at least be in the points. I guarantee that without a question. My first initial response of thinking on this was, okay, this is like a pity demo drive. It's fine. Like, yeah, I agree with you, Andy. Like, let him go out on his own terms. You know, it's something I'm sure he always dreamed about, being in a legit top team, and you know, he can go out there and have fun and experience what a car is supposed to drive like instead of being in a Haas car for the, you know, last 5 years of your career. So this will be a nice change of pace. He'll probably spin it, would be my guess.
Well, I mean, do we know that it's a 2020 car or a 2021 car versus a 2020 or a 2019 car?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I feel like maybe it was a 2020 car, perhaps.
Okay. Because this feels like, you know, the Fernando Alonso thing. You know, it's cool, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah, the Twitter sphere got me a little worked up today.
I hope it is the 2020 car, because it'll probably be faster than the 2020 car, 2021 car.
Oh God, can you imagine what they'll be talking about then? Because yeah, it should be legitimately faster than the 21 car. Oh my God, he was 3 seconds faster than Lewis on race day, and it's
write this down so we don't forget. But I think I know our prop bet for that weekend.
Yeah, Twitter got me a little worked up today. Sorry. I'm like, come on, guys. He's a 7-time world champion. Can we please stop comparing him to Grosjean? It's just insulting. So, anyways, moving on. Andy, tell us about the last bit of news that involves your boys at McLaren.
So this was a proposal that Zach Brown put out over the course of the last weekend. Obviously, as we know, a lot of times when F1 teams have majority votes, or when they go into the strategy group, those votes are public and everybody kind of knows where everybody sits in terms of position, at least of where they voted. And Zach Brown's thinking, you know, let's have it be more of a secret ballot so that the smaller teams, specifically teams like Alfa Romeo, Haas, Williams, aren't necessarily as pressured as they could be from their bigger, more powerful affiliated teams like Ferrari, Mercedes, even to a lesser extent, McLaren, to a certain extent, they don't really have any, or even Alpine if they had a junior team, to not have them have to disclose how they vote so that they can hopefully vote more in their own interest as opposed to something, you know, a vote kind of almost de facto being forced against their interest. Because, you know, you see Williams vote the same way as Mercedes when they are on completely opposite ends of the grid. Does that really make sense? Does Williams really want that? We don't necessarily know. So Zach Brown wants to make it a secret ballot. It's just a proposal. Nothing has necessarily happened on it, but just want to get your guys' thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think we were talking pre-show, James. I think you brought up a good point. It's kind of hard to keep things secret when there's only 10 people around. You know, the old game of phone call or whatever that what's that old game we play as a kid? You know, I feel like it doesn't take long for, you know, the rumor train and the messages to start twisting and everything else. So I don't know, James, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. It's like I like the idea of it and letting teams kind of vote for their teams, not who they owe their power units to. But yeah, I mean, when there's only 10 teams, it's going to be pretty easy to figure out, especially like a lopsided vote or something. But hey, I'm here for it. I support Zach. So I'd vote if it came to a fan vote.
Yeah. Maybe we should get some fan vote like Formula E. No?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Hard pass.
Yeah. I'm just gonna put that, leave that alone.
Yeah, you don't want to know who's gonna get that 5 second boost out of that one.
Oh, good times. All right, guys. Let's throw the green flag and let's talk about what we're actually came here to talk about tonight. The Spanish Grand Prix, the return of Fernando Alonso to the home track since 2018? So it could be a redemption tour. Andy, tell us about the track facts, please.
So the Circuit de Barcelona de Catalunya is located in Montemelo in España. We will have 66 laps on a track length of 4.655 kilometers, which is 2.9 miles. Our tire selection is the hardest of the Pirelli compounds, the C1, C2, and C3 tires. James, why don't you tell us a little bit about the track characteristics?
Yeah, so like you said, we got the hardest tire compounds with traction of 3 out of 5, braking 4 out of 5, lateral load, tire stress, asphalt grip, asphalt abrasion, and downforce all rated at a 4 out of 5. Qualifying lap record with the current configuration is a minute 15.406 by the ass man himself, Valtteri Bottas, in 2019. race lap record, also Mr. Bottas, with a minute 18.183, and that was set last year in 2020. John?
Yeah, so most wins all time at this particular circuit is the great Michael Schumacher with 6, followed closely by the other great Sir Lewis Hamilton at 5, as he did win last year. Mickey Häkkinen and what has 3, and then we have Fernando Alonso, Kimi Räikkönen, and Nigel Mansell all with 2. Most constructor wins. I was going to give this to James, but fuck him. It's going to be Ferrari. I didn't want to hear him talk too much about this. Ferrari has 8, followed by Williams and Mercedes at 6, McLaren 4, Red Bull 3, and Renault 1. Andy, what is this circuit like? Break it down for us.
Well, it's certainly a circuit that most of the drivers are very familiar with because they usually spend good week before the season in a normal year, pounding around for testing, but that's not happened this year. So this will be their first time on this track this season. But it's a track that is a good mix of high and low speed corners, pretty challenging turn 3 right-hander, is a great chance to kind of evaluate how your car is balanced and to see what your car is really like. So it's a great test track. It pushes F1 cars, pushes the tires actually really good too. We've talked many times about the final chicane. We wish it wasn't there, but it is. But I think you're going to see a very interesting practice, very interesting qualifying. Do we see an interesting race? That becomes the question. But as we will transition into our weather qualifying, it's going to be sunny, warm, 73 degrees Fahrenheit. Only a 10% chance of rain, but those winds will be back. Winds out of the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. So we could have, we saw cars getting affected in Portimao. We could have that happen again here. For the race on Sunday, it is a mixture of clouds and sun in the morning, followed by cloudy skies in the afternoon. There is rain coming, but I don't think it's going to necessarily make it by the time the race happens. Chance of rain is only 24% in the afternoon, high of 71, winds east out of the east at 10 to 15 miles an hour. So again, could have some gusty winds, probably more affected by wind rather than rain this weekend.
Yeah, I think as I said in our Sunday night race review from last week, I think this is going to be an interesting representation of what the teams really have. You know, like Andy said, normally we're testing here every year. Obviously did not this year because of COVID. But I think this will give us a good indication of, you know, is Red Bull actually legitimate? You know, are they dominant? Can Mercedes keep up? Is McLaren, you know, legitimately a P3? You know, how's Ferrari look? You know, can they, you know, is this a P4 type Ferrari? This should be a good test for us. So I'm looking forward to that. It kind of sucks that we've had two really good races, one pretty good race, and now we're going into Spain and Monaco. So it feels like May is going to be a little bit of a letdown. Although I think we got, what, Azerbaijan at the end of May, something like that. So
I think after that, they I'll pull that up, but I'll double check that. But one thing I did want to note that, you know, if we go into Monaco, look at the cars who are good in sector three as just kind of an insider way to kind of see who you think is going to be good in Monaco. The cars that are good in sector three here at Spain generally tend to go really well in Monaco. So just something to look out for as you watch throughout the weekend.
Nice little tidbit there. Appreciate that, Andy. All right, guys, let's throw a full course caution. Thank our wonderful sponsors, who I failed to mention earlier. I got to get better at that. At Manscaped, you can get 20% off plus free shipping using our code OUTLAP, OUTLAP, one word, for all of your men's grooming needs. Whether you need to take care of your hair or you need to freshen up, they've got everything that you need, guys. So definitely go check them out. And they're pretty much shipping basically anywhere in the world these days. So definitely check them out. Use our code, get your free shipping, get your 20% off. And you will not regret it. In fact, I think you'll thank us for it. So, all right, guys, let's we'll go full course caution, and we'll be right back. Support for the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Big news, everyone. Manscaped has just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over and all the time. Manscaped has been trusted by over 2 million men worldwide, so join the movement now for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. We already know that Manscaped has the perfect package 3.0 for all your grooming needs, but they didn't stop there. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. The same signature scent that's in all the Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to your collection. It's light, approachable, and gentlemanly-like in all the right ways. Think of it as your roommate for the night in the town to keep you fresh and ready for anything. It's calming and inviting. This signature scent introduces a light citrus burst before settling in for an incredible woodsy and masculine finish. This 50-milliliter spray cologne is even hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. It even comes in a beautifully designed glass bottle that makes a statement, and the manly scent sets the mood for any occasion. I've been personally using this product for about a month, though, and let me tell you, it smells incredible, and my significant other has certainly been enjoying it as well. Right now, our listeners of the Outlap F1 podcast can get 20% off plus free shipping by using the code OUTLAP, that's OUTLAP, one word, at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Welcome back, everyone, to Season 3, Episode 15 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. We're breaking down the Spanish Grand Prix preview. Looking forward to, hopefully, a decent race on Sunday. So, guys, it's time to get into our weekly prediction challenge. Qualifying pole sitter. Again, last year, it was Hamilton at a 1:15.584. Andy, I know you're hiding everything this week, playing the dirty game. So, Andy, you get to go first. Who you got for time and who you got for driver and what's your time?
Well, my driver, which I do have in the agenda, is Max Verstappen. I believe he will take pole, and I will have a lap time for qualifying of a 1:16.678.
1:16.678.
You saw I typed that in before.
I did not see you type it.
Did you see it? John, did you see it?
I saw it, yeah.
All right. I don't want Andy to say I'm cheating.
Dirty. You guys playing the dirty mind games over there. I see. All right, so James, since I can see it now, but tell the rest of the world what you got.
I also have Max Verstappen. I think that Red Bull one lap pace, pretty impressive. So I'm going to put them at a minute 16.612 for Max Verstappen.
All right. Deanna's got Lewis Hamilton taking a hit, another pole in Spain. And she's got a 116.324. So it looks like we're all learning our lesson and going slower this week. Why should it be the one time we don't?
Yeah, I was going to say, those set some sort of track record now.
And I've got Max Verstappen, so agreeing with James and Andy, at a 116.411. So we're all pretty close there. Race predictions, podium. Deanna's got a Verstappen in P1, Hamilton P2, and a Checo Perez in P3. Hopefully we're not all the same. We might be similar, though. Andy, what you got?
I do think this is a Max Verstappen track, and I do think we'll see Red Bull prove to be the quickest car, at least right now. So Max Verstappen, P1, Lewis Hamilton close on his heels, of course, as always, in P2. Valtteri Bottas, hopefully a little bit better than last week, but I do think he will come home in P3.
Hey, the ass man's got to have a recovery drive at some point. So,
yep.
I mean, we talked about, you know, he's got the fastest lap for qualifying, fastest race lap here.
Yeah, he does like this track.
So, but he did finish P3 last year. So, yeah, we shall see. Myself, I've got Lewis Hamilton. I feel like he's, you know, there's been a little spark lit, you know, last couple of weeks. I feel like he might be able to keep that mojo flowing. Max Verstappen in P2 and a Checo Perez in P3. James, what you got?
I'm right there. I think Lewis Hamilton ties Schumacher with what is the sixth win or seventh win, whichever. And then I step in second and Checo Perez. Initially, when I typed that out, I was like, oh, yeah, home race. And then I remembered that he's actually Mexican and it's the Spanish. So sorry about that. It's Sainz and Alonso with the home race this weekend.
Apparently geography wasn't a great thing in the South Side of Chicago. It's all right. I know some people that probably don't even know where Spain is. So, all right. So let's see. What do we at? What do we have? Fastest lap driver and time. For myself, I have Max Verstappen. Not sure exactly how he's going to do it, but yeah, we'll see. At a 118.911. Again, last year was a boat test at a 118.183. So I'm thinking about an 8/10 drop. James, what you got?
I'm riding with Bottas, which, spoiler alert, is going to finish in fourth place. And I think, you know, Mercedes is going to go for that extra point again. I'm kind of expecting to see that a lot, especially early in the year where the Mercedes and Red Bull are close for the lead in the championship. At 18.
Deanna has Lewis Hamilton at a 118.793. And Andy, time to be revealed live, I see on the agenda. So what you got?
So I think that just because, again, I keep looking at that wind number and keep going, wow, these cars really get affected by it. So I think it's going to be a slower lap time, 119.011.
All right, fair enough. For bonus picks, Deanna once again gets to pick as she's bringing up the rear. She once again is sticking with 4, 5, and 20 until she wins something, or at least isn't dead last. I don't know, whatever happens first. I'll go first. I just realized that I had Checo Perez finishing in third and fourth, so I need to change that. So I'll go P4, Valtteri Bottas, P5, Lando Norris, and P20, Charles Leclerc.
That's why you left that blank.
No, I just actually forgot to fill it out. And your face just made me want to pick Charles Leclerc. Mm. So
interesting.
That's what we got.
A Leclerc DNF.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
Andy, tell us you got 4, 5, and 20.
Okay, so for P4, I am going with the riding the hot streak, Mr. Lando Norris. P5, this is probably where I'm going a little bit off schedule here. I think he has a inspired drive in front of his home crowd. That Alpine comes alive. Fernando Alonso in P5. Don't know how he's going to get there, but hey, it's a bet. What else can you do? P20, got to give this to the master of the Spin Academy, Nikita Mazepin. Something bad is probably going to happen to you, and hopefully we don't get to see you have blue flags this time. So P20 for you, sir.
Yeah, James, what you got?
Yeah, Andy, I liked that Alonso pick at 5, actually, when I saw that on the agenda. I think that's an interesting pick. I think that's pretty good reasoning to do that as well. Just question, though, where do you see Checo finishing up then?
I think he has some sort of an incident, and he probably doesn't finish, but I don't think he finishes 20th.
Well, copy that. For me, though, I got Bottas in 4th, getting that fastest lap, like I said. I think Charles Leclerc gets Lando Norris this race, and Leclerc is going to finish in 5th. And then in 20th, I'm actually Yuki Tsunoda. I think he's going to be the first DNF of the race. I just have a gut feeling that he might make a mistake early and put him out of the race. And as a rookie, he's due for a kind of catastrophic mistake to end his race day early. So that's what I got.
I saw an article this week about Master of Spin, Nikita Mazepin, could he be the worst Formula One driver in history, statistically speaking? Might be a little early for that, but
there are some Arrows runners back in the late 90s that I think would have some competition there. So I don't know yet. I mean, he's not good, but I don't know if he's there yet.
It's good times. At least it's comical, if nothing else. So, and I did have a correction. He did finally get some penalty points. I think we were talking about that.
He did get one. Yep.
He did finally drop. So, unfortunately, it reset when he moved to Formula One, which is complete BS. He's back to 1, which is just ridiculous. But, anyways, prop bet this week, we are shaking it up. We're going to the number of classified finishers. This one's always a little sticky. To see who's technically classified in the race, so not necessarily DNFs. Myself, I'm just throwing out a number here. I really no idea. It's up in the air for sure. I'm going with 17 for myself. James, what you got?
I got 15, 1-5.
All right, Andy?
I liked your number, but I'm not going to repeat it, so I'm going to go 16.
I'll what the hell, Andy? Because I was going to do 16 until I saw you already got it.
So what Andy's saying is he looked at the agenda first and then picked his results. So, all right, I see how it is. Yep. Over there accusing me of stuff. And then Deanna.
The next segment is going to be the massive reveals when we do this. And we'll have intro music and all that sorts of really fun radio stuff. That's where I'm really trying to get to.
All right, that's what we got next.
Yep.
Oh, we'll put James on that one. Deanna's got 18, so 15, 16, 17, 18. Apparently, we're all thinking something similar. So, all right, guys, let's wrap it up for tonight. Andy, any last thoughts before we close the
Terror Flag? Kind of what we would expect in terms of times of sessions. It's an hour earlier than normal. I think the race starts 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast. So, check your calendars, your TV guides. Make sure you catch whatever sessions you want to and enjoy the weekend.
James?
Yeah, I'm excited for another race weekend, the second of a back-to-back. Bummed I'm going to miss the review, but I know you guys are in my place. So let's.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Hopefully, not sure if I'll be able to watch live. Again, it is Mother's Day. Second warning, everybody, don't forget. Don't screw
buy
up.
The darn card. It's a Hallmark holiday, maybe, but go buy the darn card.
Yep. Got to take care of the significant other that day. So, looking forward to it. This might be on media blackout. Although I do have a beef with the two of you, by the way. Last race weekend, I had to, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know. They all run together at this point. It was qualifying. That's what it was. I had to go on a media blackout there. As I had to go to a child's soccer practice Saturday morning. So I tell these guys, hey, I'm going media blackout, aka text amongst yourselves. Not one of them do.
No, wait a minute.
Every group text.
That means I'm putting it on mute. Exactly. I'll read the thread later.
Oh.
That's and I liked it at the time because people. It's like... Am I wrong here? Because I mean, we've done this many times.
Thankfully, I followed my advice that I gave to another Chicago native, Jenny Donahue, who I know listens to the show. Shout out to Jenny. And I went airplane mode all the way. So I came back to, I don't know, 47 text messages. But
well, there you go. See, at least, wasn't ruined
at least
for
it wasn't
you,
ruined.
Then.
But I was just.
Yeah, we didn't want you to miss all the hot takes.
Yeah, definitely. So anyways, guys, yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to the race review. Yeah, we'll see who all's on it. I know Andy Indiana will certainly be. We'll see who the rest of us are. I mean, I would guess. Who knows?
But I know I'm driving a ship. I just don't know where I'm driving it to, and we'll figure it out. Yeah, we haven't found the adventure.
And like Kenny Raikkonen, and we don't have the steering wheel yet. So
yeah, there we go.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, it's all good. Anyways, guys, all right, have a wonderful night. We will see you guys Sunday night for the race review. Looking forward to it. Be sure to send us all your hot takes as soon as the checkered flag drops. Want to hear about your driver of the day, what you think. Tell us about all the latest drama. Send it to us as soon as the checkered flag drops, and we will get it on the show Sunday night. So looking forward to it. Andy, take it away.
As always, may all your laps be fast.
Nailed it.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.